You're listening to Talk of the Rock with Kayla DeRoche, and we have a few people with us here today. We have three residents. Actually, we have four residents because one of them is a tiny human. And then we have two borough employees. So the residents are Sue Baker and Sarah Fish and Arwen Boats. And the two borough employees are Dave Conrad and Bob Tucker. And I'm actually going to allow them to kind of give their own introductions. Why don't you guys talk a little bit, the residents, I would love to hear a little bit about your history before we get into the nitty-gritty, about your history in Chiniac and how you got out there. Why don't we start with you, Sue?
Oh, well, I used to. One summer we camped out there at Twin Creeks, for like half the week, and then went into town and worked, and we just really fell in love with it. And so one time we were hitchhiking out there, and I got a ride with this guy that was looking after a rental, a trailer out there, and we got to talking to him. He said these people are moving out, and I'm going to put it in the paper to rent it. And I asked him how much, and he said $100. I go, we'll rent it. That's how I ended up out there in 1978.
And I can say, because I've been in your house, it is a beautiful structure. It's really lovely, and just getting a little taste of Chiniac when I go out there is always fun. It makes me understand a little bit about how it might be to be a resident out there just visiting. And so, going on over to this side, we're going to start with Arwen. Could you kind of give your background in Chiniac?
Yeah, I'm not from Chiniac. My mother and father-in-law had my husband and all the kids there grow up. And so when my husband and I met in Seattle, he said, I want to have our kids grow up in Alaska and Kodiak and Chiniac at that. So we have been out there for the last 6.5 years with our two kids, and it's going great.
All right. And Sarah Fish and your son, Waylon. Hello. Welcome, both of you. Hello. Could you kind of give your background? And why don't you introduce Waylon, since he can't really introduce himself?
Well, this is Waylon. He's 9 months old and really boogery.
Oh.
I first moved to Chiniac to house it in 2009 and loved it and started. I got invited to a playgroup at the library and used to walk up the hill and fell in love with a piece of property and bought it. Been there ever since.
Yeah. And it's cool that you brought a future patron of the library / Tsunami Center. So why don't we talk a little bit about the fire that happened in 2015, which resulted in the loss of that structure. So, Tucker, you want to explain this part?
I can try a little bit. I mean, I was at the borough meeting when we first heard about the fire and the call came in and we stopped the meeting. But then I guess Dave Conrad was the one that was the first responder, which you do the wildland fires, right, Dave?
That's correct.
For the their department at Women's Bay has the piece for the state to do wildland fires. The fire started on a really bad windy day, and it was finally, I guess, determined that it was a downed power line that started the fire in a slash pile or debris and spread from there, topped out into the trees and went across the area and eventually took out the library. And I think, Dave, you were out there when the library was actually engulfed in flames.
Yeah, that's correct. There are two responders from Women's Bay Fire. I'm the assistant fire chief at Women's Bay. And myself and another firefighter went to Chiniac, and when we got over the hill at Calson, we knew this was very big. We had a small pickup truck, a wildland truck, and when we got out there, connected with the state troopers and as many residents as possible and advised the folks that were in charge in town at the Incident Command Center that we felt that the area should be evacuated because of the wind behavior and because of the size of the fire.
Right. So, Dave, you're a contractor / inspector with the borough, correct?
I'm an inspector. I'm construction inspector engineer is my title.
Okay, great. And Tucker, you're engineering facility director.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Could you talk to me a little bit about how you guys have been involved in the recovery from the fire, which this library rebuilding / tsunami center rebuilding is part of.
Well, as borough employees, we are the ones that have to interface with the insurance company. And the insurance company, the policy was a replacement value policy. So consequently, we speak with the insurance company and know that the insurance company is, their task is basically to replace what was existing. However, we also have to be the advocates for the folks that live in Chiniac. They're the ones that are the users of the Tsunami Center Library. So consequently, we've had 3 separate meetings with these folks to get some concepts. We have used the borough's architect to do a preliminary design. That was submitted to the insurance company. We got 3 pages of comments back from the insurance company. So we're reworking the design so it more closely fits the square footage. They're talking about the number of windows, the number of doors. So we have to be very careful how we design this. But in all fairness, we need to keep in mind the users, because these are the folks that use this thing. I don't use this library. So I think as an employee, we need to be the advocates of the residents out there.
Right.
So one of the things we're trying to do, and I think we'll be successful with the insurance company, is the structure that was there before was a 2-story structure, and the 2-story loft was pretty much unusable for students and the size of it. And so what we're trying to do is work with the insurance company to actually design the building in a different way. So it's single story, but we have the same square footage on one level. So that will help the community out there be able to do more and be able to use the space better. And so that's the type of thing that we're going back and forth with, trying to change and trying to figure out what we can, I don't want to say give up, but what we can change to offset the cost to be able to do this with the insurance company. For instance, we're not going to have to build the stairs. We're not going to have to build the 2nd-floor deck. We're not going to have to build the taller wall. And we can offset that to extend the roof out possibly to make it a single-story building. So that's the type of thing that Dave's talking about that we're doing. We're trying to work with the community to get what they want and work with the insurance company to make sure they're going to accept what we're doing.
Before we continue talking about the insurance, which I'd like to hear more about, and the future of the building, can we kind of talk about the role of the Tsunami Center /library prior to the fire? Maybe the residents could talk about this a little bit.
Well, the library originally was in the old school building before the new school was built. And we moved up there when they built the tsunami shelter up there a few years later. And then we moved up there about 2000. And It was a real nice space.
And how did the kids use the library? What kind of programs were offered there?
We had a play group there.
We did a play group once a week, which was nice for both the moms and dads to be able to have some time and socialization together, as well as teach kids who are in that more rural setting don't get to interact as quite as often as they would perhaps if they were in town with each other. And we did some fine motor stuff and socialization and creativity and obviously the early literacy part, trying to engage them early on in the interest in books and what they can get from that, as well as engaging their parents in that. I'm working on my master's in early childhood education, so this was really pertinent stuff. And, you know, I run a playgroup in town as well, so it was nice to be able to do it in both avenues and for me to benefit personally as well. It's a good support.
Right.
I guess I'll also really on the quick note there, it was a nice place for me to be able to work on my master's because I'm going through distance education through UAA for the master's in early childhood education. And it's the only place, now the school can, but it was the only place that you could have fast enough internet that would actually work for any of the classes. So I couldn't even started my master's if we hadn't first had the library, and then now the school has stepped up and allowed me to do my classes there. So that was really nice of the school district to do.
Who were the other leaders who kind of organized events and led kids in some of those activities? Were they also parents, or were there some, like, librarians?
Oh, well, a group of women in, well, probably, I don't know when it was, probably late 70s, early 80s, got together, and we had this old school building, and they thought, well, let's start a library. So Ann Salzer actually did all of the legwork and the paperwork and got the library established as a nonprofit, and it went from there. We have been able to get funds from the state library. They provide a grant every year, and we have guidelines that we follow in order to be able to get that grant. And they've been very, very supportive. When I was director in the past, I thought, well, sure, I'll do it, but I knew nothing about, you know, what to do. And so, but the state library at that time had offered a workshop at the University of Anchorage for a week-long workshop, and it's in the summer, and it was called SLIM, Small Library Institute of Management, and it was just a godsend for me because I learned, you know, quite a bit more, you know, enough that I was able to continue on and keep the program going. You know, I learned a lot from that.
How many students are currently in the region of Chiniac? Roughly.
26 at the school.
Yeah. 26, you said?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we thought there were about 10 who were under 5 who would be in the next 5 years. But I think that also counts Passat Check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who would be evolving to be in the schools and benefiting from the library.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we return a little bit to talk about the insurance. How does it work? How does the insurance work on this building? What requirements does the building need to satisfy in order to receive that insurance?
Well, the like Dave said, the insurance was a replacement cost, but it also has to take into consideration any code upgrades. So if the old building didn't, you know, met the code when it was built, the new building has to meet the new codes. Commercial codes for a commercial building. So that's a kind of a change that we've got to work through with the insurance company. So it's going to be a direct replacement in, like Dave was saying, square footages and number of windows and number of doors. But say the bathrooms back then weren't ADA, but they have to be now. So the insurance company would have to pay that difference. And they couldn't really argue too much about it because it's a requirement. So we have that, I guess, benefit in our, you know, going forward that we're getting an updated building that we didn't have before. And so they've given us two draws, I guess, what you want to call them, is they've given us, what, $400,000?
Yes.
That has, and Dave may be able to speak to this a little better. He knows the numbers a little better than I do, but there's two separate pieces. There's the building, and then there's the contents. And we have a very good documentation of the contents that were in that building, not only photographs, but we also have the contents from the registry that the school did, or the librarians did, where they put all the books into the school's database. So we have a complete database of what was in there as far as books goes. And we have photographic evidence of what was in there as far as contents, as far as shelving and tables and computers and, you know, what was in the kitchen and that type of thing. All that will be replaced after the building is built. That way we'll have a place to put it, and then the insurance company will start paying the actual costs of the contents.
How severe was the damage to the building?
It was total.
Total.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah. And I understand that you're taking donations of books. In fact, I've seen them in house. Yeah.
Got a lot of nice books. Thanks to everybody for donating books.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, like, towards the end. Maybe people would be interested in sending some books. But I'd be also interested to know how much of that structure had been dedicated to the Tsunami Center and how much had been the library. Like, what aspects of the building?
Well, actually, I think the residents are going to need to talk to that one. I personally was never in the building. I was outside of the building several times, but so I would be not the person to ask.
Mostly we just had medical equipment and blankets stored in the closets. Mm-hmm.
And there was a kitchen and some bathrooms,
kitchen,
too?
Kitchen, bathroom, one bathroom. And
showers?
Floor space, shower, and a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of a... That seems a little Tsunami Center recovery area to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the showers.
Big area, lots of spaces to make beds.
Kitchen.
The one bonus that was there was the fact that there was a standalone generator. So if there would have been a power outage, they actually could function. It would have been probably one of the few buildings out there, public building, the only public building at the time, I believe, that would have had a generator. So now the school also has a generator. Obviously, if you have a major disaster or any, even a small disaster, and the power goes out, you need to have power to be able to do basic functions.
And I understand that the tsunami inundation zones have changed recently and that the data has been updated.
They have. We have the several borough staff members have attended, and in conjunction with the city, there was a presentation about a month ago, and we have the new tsunami inundation maps for the city, Woman's Bay, and we have requested for all of the villages as well as Chiniac. And we believe, from what we have heard, that the shelter will be built in the same location on borough property. And it is, I want to say it's 167 feet is what the elevation was, or something like that. So we're fairly confident that that area will be safe.
Okay. Yeah, and so why don't you ladies talk a little bit about your hopes and dreams for the new structure and how you imagine that might look? So you start.
Well, I'm really looking forward to having the building being new and energy efficient, and I don't know. We got all the bookshelves, the laminate, not the laminate, are they? Yeah, they're oak laminate bookshelves from the old city library here in Kodiak. So that'll be real nice to arrange in there. Just being able to rearrange it. I had almost got done with cataloging all of the books, so I probably will be focusing on restarting that again.
Yeah, what do you mean energy efficient?
The walls are going to be thicker, I think. Mm. I'm not sure. It looks like it's, pretty, better windows, I'm sure. That was...
It should it'll have better windows and more insulation in the ceiling than it did have.
Yeah.
I don't know what the wall structure was off the top of my head, whether that would be any different, but definitely doors and windows and insulation in the roofing will be much better than what the old structure was.
And to kind of keep the heat in?
Right.
Yeah.
And also the extra space that we'll have downstairs will be really, really nice.
Are you going to kind of be digging out the ground over there?
No, what she's talking about, instead of having a loft area, it'll be all on one level, I think, is what she's talking about.
Okay.
That having all the square footage on one level.
Yeah, we had an area for the kids, and then an area for meeting and having, potlucks and general community activities and, that kind of thing.
So how many books do you need to fill the shelves right now? Because I noticed that you stored up like a ton of books, but how many more do you need? How many?
Well, we had probably about 12,000 books when the library burned. So, we'll build it back up and we'll fill it eventually. Yeah, we get from the grant from the state library, we have to spend 20% of that on books every year. Books, videos, any kind of information, informative material, or that, computer programs and stuff like that. So we will be, you know, buying a lot of our basic nonfiction reference, probably brand new, because we like to keep that up fairly up to date.
So can you speak a little bit? I think that there's something that I can't explain well myself, but in terms of taking old books and how they can spread some kind of disease to each other, so you're not allowed to take really old books or something like that?
Well, if you get, no, if they have mold on them, that will spread, you know. Also, I've been told that if they're yellowing, that means they're not acid, you know, what do you call that? Acid resistant or whatever, and that could spread, but I'm not sure about that. I was just, somebody told me that.
Where are you getting all your donations of books?
Residents, libraries from around the state. We had a resident that, well, his father lives in Chiniac, and he is a teacher down in, where is that? Somewhere down in the States. And he got the community together, and they had a book drive, and he's just finished sending up the last of the boxes.
Hmm. We also got
covers.
Sorry, we also got a bunch sent up from Old Harbor, from a resident there who was a teacher, and so a lot of those were very child focused and really, really helpful.
Yeah, we have one retired elementary teacher that is going to be donating all her books, and she said it was a truckload.
Oh wow!
I haven't got them yet, but.
I wonder how big a truck.
They're probably all hardback, so I'm excited.
And there are adult books, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of nice Alaska books and some nice nonfiction how-to books.
Also from
so
a lot
far.
Of, sorry, a lot of small libraries around the state have sent a lot of donations, a lot of duplicates and good books.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also nice. We've had a good collaboration with the school out there for being able to purchase books that the kids need that don't fit within the school's budget. Mm-hmm. So we had a really nice young adult collection as well and could run the summer reading program through that.
Do you guys have a library card? How does one borrow a book?
We know everybody.
So if you haven't returned your book, we'll find you.
Yeah, there's no late fees as long as you read.
Oh, that's a good motivation. There's no late fee.
That's the point.
You can just take forever to read.
You do check them in and out. I mean, we have a computer system, but yeah. I mean, if it's been a really long time, like, could you please return that? It's about time. Somebody else wants it.
I'm sure there's someone who has a book out there that they rent, that they borrowed before the fire, and they're like, well,
we've gotten a lot of our collection back that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know I had a couple books at home.
Maybe not a lot, but a bit of it.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any other plans to do something different than you had done before the fire? Any ideas of expanding or new programs you might pursue? Or is it too early to consider?
Well, we have the middle school teacher, Frances, is going to do a summer reading program this summer. And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. So when might the library be built? Huh. That'd be like years. I mean, I don't want, it would be a while, right?
We're hoping, if everything goes right, that we can do it during this summer construction season.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're trying to shoot for. We're a little late with, I mean, we got some of the architectural done. We've got to finish that. We've got to get it out to bid. It's got to be out to bid for so many days, you know, according to borough code and. Then we've got to review all the bids and everything. So it takes a little while to get it out, but that's our hope, is to get it out and have it constructed and be done, you know, this fall.
Wow. What is the projected date of completion?
We don't have one yet until we nail down exactly what the insurance company is going to allow and what the residents want. When we nail that down, then, you know, we can move forward, but we really can't move forward until we have all the design, you know, nailed down to what we're going to build. Then we can kind of project out, but until we get that far.
We've also in the past, and I think this is something, especially with the group of kids we have in Chinook right now, we could start up really well, is like on Friday nights, once a month or so, we were doing movie night where we would maybe have pizza or something like that. But it was a really nice, fun, safe, appropriate thing for all the kids to do to get together that wasn't entirely school focused. And it went really, really well. Sarah kind of, that was her baby, and she ran with it, and it was great. So something kind of similar to that would be good. And we also did lots of arts projects, which was fun and something that I'm looking forward to starting as well.
So I just got the signal that we have only about a minute and a half left, maybe 1 minute. So could you guys tell us where we could ship the books if we are interested in donating?
Just Kodiak here?
Yeah, if we're interested in donating to the Chinook Library Collection.
Well, you could call me or Sarah, and we can come in and get it. Or, you know, usually that's what we've been doing.
All right. What's a good number?
My number is 486-2895. And go ahead.
Or 512-0880.
And I work in town 4 days a week, so I can pick them up wherever people need to. And I'm 512-7278.
All right. And we'll put this online. We'll include some of those phone numbers.
I also wanted to mention that we did get on Pick, Click, Give this year. So you can go to our website, chinooklibrary.org, and there's a link there. Or, you know, if you are familiar with the Pick, Click, Give, just go to the site and scroll down to Chinook Public Library. It's in the C's.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.